Okay, this is Mrs. Pearl Cunningham telling me an Anansi story about Nancy and the blackbird.
Bird, yes.
Okay.
Some blackbird, three blackbird used to go over highland to feed. While Anansi was up and down hungry, didn't have nothing to eat. And one day them said to him, "How are you?" Him saying, "Bad, because he's hungry." They say, "Well, they get feeding over there." Him say, "Well, he would like to go, but he don't have no feather, he can't fly." So then take out three of them feather and stick it into him, and him fly and go over there. And every time when reaching the tree now and see the happy them, the bird them couldn't get none to eat. Everyone and got to pick him. Say, "That one is mine. That one is mine. Don't trouble that one." And when you hear the cry, the bird them hungry, them had to leave and go back. Them stayed here, them didn't go. And when him belly was full and him drop asleep now, them take out back them feather and fly away and leave him. So every day him get up and him heat the happy until the happy was done now. Him nothing more to eat, him was hungry again now, and him don't have no feather to fly over back. So him decided, when him looked down, him see the sea. Him say, "Oh, we're going to get home back." So him say, "Well, I'm going to drop my bag, and if the bag sink, float, I will float. But if the bag sink, I will sink." And him drop the bag and the bag sink. And him take up him hat and drop the hat, and the hat float. And him throw down himself to, and him sink to the bottom. And when right when him sink to the bottom, was right into alligator house. And him say, "Be a alligator, long time coming, come look for you. And I couldn't reach, and now I just come." And alligator was so glad. I say, "Yes, bear, come, eat and drink. And I want you to learn the children and teach them for me." He say, "Yes, bear, me can do that." And he start to teach the children them, make nice and everything. And every day now start to eat up one chick. The next day eat one and eat till he eat up the seven children them. And when he eat them half done, him don't have no more children. Now he start to him alone in the school making nice, that the alligator would believe that is the children and making nice. And when him see that it looked too bad, now him decided to go home now. So he went and tell alligator that he's ready to go. So I'm going to look for some more books to come back and teach the children them. And she get the boat now and get him ready and get into the boat. And while the men them paddling him going to shore, she going to look for her children them, and she don't see one of her children them, and she start to bawl out, "Bring back Anansi here." And Anansi say, "Pull fast to the shore because storm and breeze." He said, "Bring back Anansi here." And Anansi said, pull fast, storm and breeze, and him pull fast. Until when him reach on the shore, him jump up and him say, "You foolish brute, you." She said to bring me back, and he said that you land me shore. And when alligator come after him, him take away himself, so she didn't catch him. Monkey and you miss it. It's alligator. Where that tiger used to eat, I have a white man. A man have plenty sheep, and tiger used to eat the sheep. And the man's looking and trying to find out, and he could not find out who was it eating the sheep. So he give out a reward and say, "Anybody that can tell him who eat the sheep, he will make them be overseer over his property." And Anansi know that it was tiger was eating the sheep. So now them have a dance now, and then now him invite to the dance to play the music. Him have a violin, and now him they have the skin of the sheep there with him. And then now when him start to tune up in violin, he say, "Thief, thief, 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 sheep, 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 thief, 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 back rush, sheep, sheep, sheep." And then when him start to play, then start to dance, the music now start to dance. He said, "Ali time me they tell brother tiger, my teeth back crushing. Ali time me they tell brother tiger, no teeth back crushing. Deep, 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 sheep, 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 sheep." And until the man get on to him, find out that his tiger was keeping him sheep, and him take a Nancy and give him what he and kill tiger.
And turn on the tape. Give me your full name before we get started so I remember.
Walter Ferguson.
Walter Ferguson, and they call you Gavitt.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yes. Once Brother Nancy and Takuma was very good friends. And it happened that one day he visited Takuma, but he had a tour on his feet, one of his feet. So Brother Nancy saw him in a pin and he said, "Ah, Brother Takuma, where you going to show?" He said, "Liat and I'm sure, you know, liat and I'm sure." So Brother Takuma said, "What you mean, liat and I'm sure? Can I go and prove it to you, sir? I go and prove it to you one day." So he went away. When he came back, he visited Tiger's wound. Tiger and Takuma was very good friends. Tiger will do any favor for Takuma. So he visited Tiger, and he knew that Tiger was against him and Nancy, but he was very loving to Takuma and decided to make a mischief. So he said to Tiger, "Be that Tiger, you say you are Nancy a good friend?" Tiger said, "Yes, we're good friends, good friends." "And you know what, Nancy? Tell me, say, in her one garden, and you go there every day and thief out in food where he have this, him so poor and your thief." "He can't tell you that." "Yes, him tell me something, he can't tell him to his fear." "Well, come along with me and let me go and prove that." "No." So they went to Takuma and they knocked up Takuma. When Takuma went, he saw his friend, but the friend was in a bad humor. He said, "No, I want you to prove this when I steal your food." He said, "Me, Brother Tiger, I never said a thing like that." He said, "But Anansi told me that you said that you have your garden and every day I went and steal your food." So Anansi, "Yes, you tell me so, I can look in your face and tell you so." So Brother Takuma started to cry and throw down himself on the ground. And Anansi said to him, "Brother Takuma, you remember me tell you, say, liat and I'm sure, and you see a prove it to you." So then he showed him that he never did cry when he had the sword, but he cried when he told a lie on him. So that's the story of that.
No, wait, you have to tell me, because I don't quite understand. What did he say? You never cry when you have the sword.
But he cried when he told a lie.
But he cried when he told a lie.
What happened? Takuma had a sword.
Yeah.
So Anansi visited him. So the story not hurt him, and you know, sometimes he may. So Anansi said to him, "But be that Takuma, you know, lie hotter than sword."
So, lie hotter than sword.
So he said, "Oh, you mean, oh, you mean lie." He said, "I'm going to prove it to you one day, I'm going to prove it." So he went and told his best friend, who was Tiger, uh-huh. that Takuma said that Tiger is stealing out his provision out his garden. So, Tiger was such a good friend to Takuma that Takuma would never like to hurt his feelings. So when Tiger got vexed now and carried Anansi to prove it, Anansi stood up and tell Takuma, "Yes, you tell me so." So Takuma was so grieved about it that he threw down himself on the ground and started to cry. And then Anansi said, "Don't I tell you, say, yeah, I had that on sure, you can prove it for yourself."
There it is.
You understand?
There it is, yeah, I understand. It's too bad you had. This is the story you were going to tell about Pat?
Yes, Pat. So now this is a young man by the name of Pat. Very young man, around 17 years. But he had such a memory that he always boasts of it in an open conversation in the street that not even Satan can cause him to forget anything. And he knows Satan is a wise man and wicked. So Satan heard him and never liked that joke. So one day when he was very young and he was cooking, he saw a man rode on a horse and came right up to him and he said, "Good morning, Pat." And he turned around, he never saw that man before, but anyhow he said, "Good morning." He said, "Do you read eggs?" Pat answered, said, "Yes." And he turned right back He never looked back, but he went away. So Pat was surprised. He said, "I've never seen a man like this before. Oh, he knows my name. He come to ask me if I eat eggs. I told him yes, and he just done. And for weeks he'd been bothered over that. He said, I can't understand this man." Well, anyhow, he grew, he came to be an old man until he was 100 years, and when he was just about going to die, he was in a little room, in this little corner here, and he heard a man knock. He said, "Come inside." When he, as he looked, he remembered that man, although he was 17 years and he was 100 years old. As he looked, he saw the man. The man said, "Pat Howe." He said, "Try." It happened that Blackbird was very fond of Brother Nancy. And they always go and bring apples and give it to Brother Nancy. It happened that Nancy one day never be surprised, although he was receiving some benefits from them, but he said, "You are too shellfish, man, you're shellfish." They said, "Why?" "You are telling you fine apple and you don't carry me and show me the tree, man." So they said, "But you cannot go there. The trees in the midst of a river. And it's only birds can reach there, Brother Nancy, but we bring apples for you." "Sure, but suppose each one of you give me three of your wing feather. Me can't go, man." So they considered it, yes, it looked reasonable. And they consult each other and they give him three wing feathers. But he got more feathers than they did, because it was quite a group of them and a flock of them. And he flew off to the apple tree before them, and he reached before them. He had a bag, and he started to pick and throw in his bag and started to pick until his belly was big. And when Blackbird did reach, because they didn't have the amount of feathers, so they was not fast enough to reach, as they saw one, "You know, no touch that one, I feel me horn." As they saw another, no, touch that one, I tell me, see that one before you. So then he said, "Well," they sat down and they never interfere anymore, but Nancy dropped asleep, or fell asleep, had the bag on his shoulder and fell asleep. So they said, "You know what, let us play this guy a trick." So they went and took back all the feathers and left him alone on the limb. When he awake, he found that he had no feathers and the deep water was there below him, and he said, "What am I going to do now?" He said, "Well, if I drop my bag and my float, I must float too." So he dropped the bag and the bag sink, floated. And he said, "Oh, go ahead now," and he pitched down in the water, but he started to sink, but he grabbed the bag with him and he went down to the bottom of the bag. Alligator was just coming to devour him, and he went and he greeted Alligator. He said, "My one question, Alligator. Young time of one come to come see you, and I couldn't reach until no one kind of atrocities on the road and this and that." Alligator said, "Well, you are lucky. I never know one was causing anyhow. Come on." So he took him inside and they ate and drink and so forth. But finally, the quarters was too small for them now, so Alligator took him over on another bank where he had 100 eggs, and he said, "Well, you can sleep right here. But be careful, I have 100 eggs, don't interfere." "No, be a alligator, I'm not going to chop it." Well, from the alligator went back to his quarter, and Nancy started to eat the eggs. He had three days there, and he ate 99 eggs and leave one. So alligator called to him from over that side, "A better Nancy, this morning is the morning that you're going to go back home, and I'm going to send 2 boatmen with you." "Thank you, brother, you get that, thank you." But he suspected maybe this is a stranger, maybe he make way with the egg. So he said to him, "Brother Nancy, count those eggs for me before you come over. Sure, the highest of the master fat in the calf shop. Stand up there and see them." So he took up one brother, you get that, and he put back the very same one, and he took up another one. "Two better, you get up." And he put back the same one, and he did that until he did it 100 times. Alligator said, "Well, you is good." So he sent the boatman cross him. But alligator still had a doubt. So he said, you know, better I take a run across and see what happened. When he go, he saw one head. So he run back to the riverside now and he said, bring back an Nancy wolf. But one was dumb, one was deaf. The dumb one really heard, but he couldn't speak. And the deaf one, he whispered, he bawled out in the deaf one, he said, puyan fast, tama kum, no want him, one question for dead fancy. And they start to pull and they reach home. Well, from that, when I reached, that blackbird cut off all communication. That's why.
To Brother Alligator, when Alligator asked him to count the eggs, he said, the master's...
The eyes of the master fatten the calf. You know, there has a word.
Uh-huh.
You know, the eyes of the master fatten the calf is a phrase, you know. It's like you have a farm and you ask me to go and look over the farm for you. Well, I will come and tell you, well, I have it pruned up and cleaned up, but I will tell you, the eyes of the master fatten his calf mean you should go and see for yourself. So he told him, said, yes, the eyes of the master fatten the calf, so he took up one of the eggs. So the master could really see the eggs and he put it back and he took up the very same one again.
But he didn't look close enough.
No, he was over on the other side of
it. Okay, that's a good one. Do you remember any others that have to do with Brother Anansi? And I gotta close this door to keep out the noise.
Brother Anansi, once he used to be an intruder to Brother Tiger. He was lazy. And he never cared about working. So Brother Nancy always go over and say that he's sick. You know, he's sick. And they always give him something to eat because Brother Tiger is a working man and he always have a full store of. Well, it happened that Nancy planned. Brother Tiger tell him, well, I can't put up with this no more. You got to try to do something. I cannot maintain you any further. So he went away and he went down by a riverside and he picked up some stones, some little stones, pretty little stones, and he carried it to Sister Tiger and he said to her, Sister Tiger, I'm tired of bother you and I get some beans, man. Beans are real, real vitamin beans, man. When you cook this, you give us change. So she was so glad about it and she said, let me see. Said, but they are tough. She said, no, sister, you don't know better. You bring little flour, bring little piece of canned pork, bring little beans, and bring little thing and give me and make me cook a big soup for you, and you will sit with knife. So she brought all these things and gave it to Nancy. And Nancy make up one thing of soup, but there were stones in it, and made up, and everybody enjoyed the soup, and that's the way Nancy lived off Tiger. Every day he carried a lump stone of those stones and give it to Tiger, and poor Tiger didn't know better. So he lived off him.
So the stones, what do they do? Stay at the bottom of the pot or something?
Just train them out and leave them there. He tell her to bring some little piece of canned pork. A little piece of this and a little piece of that, and he made up a big pot and he was living still off Brother Tiger and Brother Tiger. Every day he go back to the river and bring up some nice ones and says vitamins.
He was a smart one, Anansi. A smart one. Good.
Anansi, once he had his wife and a couple of children. And it happened that he was so lazy that he wouldn't work to mind the children. The poor wife had to work very hard, and to make the thing not look too bad, he pretend to be sick and he lay down in bed. All day he's in bed, sick. and the wife will cook and give him something to eat in the bed, and he wouldn't get up, he's too sick. So the wife works hard and she bought a little pig. Well, he wouldn't even get up and throw a little on a banana for the pig. He was too tired and sick, and she had to work and come back and feed the pig, the little pig. Well, the pig continued to grow and grow until it became a big hog. And Anansi was a much fond of pork. That one he loved very much. And he started to look at the fine spleen. He said, what a splendid hog. But he said, if I alone could have eat it, man, I wouldn't mind. But so much picnic, man, I don't know where to say. So Brother Cotton Tree was a doctor, a famous doctor. And he said, you know what, I went work a scheme. I get up one morning, he said to her, my wife, you know, I'm feeling worse instead of better. I said, well, yes, every day I'm feeling worse instead of better. If I did have money, I would have gone see Brother Cotton Tree because he's a famous doctor. So she said, all right, take this money and go and see Brother Cotton Tree. So she gave him some money and he went and he set up Cotton Tree now to say that he is so sick that he cannot live except he butcher a whole hog for himself and eat it up him alone, and that will cure him. So he came back to the wife. So that you had a bird that they call dryad, a crabbit animal to deal with, you know, they call him dryad. So he was on Cotton Tree and he heard everything and he never liked the condition. He felt that it wasn't fair and he sat up there and he listened to everything. Well, and as he came back home to the wife and asked him, what did Cotton Tree tell you? Well, maybe your wife better you go here for yourself because it grievous. I don't know how to tell you. She said, well, tell me. He said, you know better, Cotton Tree said, I must buy a hog and butcher it and eat it, me one, and that's the only way I will cure if not a going dead. She said, but how that? How Cotton Tree? You mean I work so hard and you're going to get this old hog? Said, well, I'm going to Cotton Tree myself. So she went to Cotton Tree and Cotton Tree told her the same thing. Said, your husband, Brother Nancy, is in a bad condition, and if he doesn't buy a hog and butcher it and eat it he alone, you're going to lose your husband. She said, all right, Brother Cotton Tree, I thank you. So she came back and she told him, she said, my wife, I can't bear if you see the children, they might go and butcher the other eat here, and you and all the children, they go and watch me, and I can't give you not even a little ounce, grieve me. He said, you know what, give me a spoon and a little plate and a little knife, a sharp knife, and make me go by the wood and there I will kill the hog and build a little tent, and when I done I will come back. So the wife said, well, that's a good idea. So she gave him a plate, a spoon, a knife and thing, and leave the hog to the wood. But Dryad was watching him, and Dryad saw him, and everywhere he went, as far as he traveled, this bird fly to another tree and watch him until he reached to the spot where he's when he built up a little tent and he started to whistle and sing. Finally, he caught the hog and get the hog, tie up, butcher him, and clean him up, and cut up, and he started to sing. Have the tent, build up the tent, and he started to sing. Dried up on a tree. Well, kept his Dutch pot and he put up a good amount, fry it up and have it well cooked, so he waited until it cooled. And as it cooled and he goes to dish out a plate, dry head fly down and come down and say, Brother Nancy, wait a while. Say, I am hungry more than you. Give me a chance. So he wanted also to stop dry head, but dry head was such a ruffian that he couldn't manage him because dry head would kill him. So dry head said, you better stay aside and don't worry around me. So dry head eat up everything and not even the gravy was left in his mouth. Fly back up on the tree. Well, he said, look at that, child, look at that. Well, he said, well, he was so hungry now that he decided to cook a double portion, so he cut up a bigger amount. And as he finished, Dryhead was right back down and said, okay, and Nancy, you stay aside. I am hungry more than you, and try to heat up everything. So he wanted now was to pick up the pork, the raw pork, to carry it back. And I said, stay right here and cook everything. You don't come back with anything. And Nancy had to cook everything and never get not even a little piece of the pork. So when the last now he took up the pot and the spoon and the plate and so forth, going back home, I had said to him, well, brother Nancy, I am going home with you to your home. So he jumped on Nancy's back, and Nancy was very weak because he had a couple of days. And when the wife looked, she saw a dry head coming, and Nancy, the wife said, trouble the bush, Nancy, bring it to my house. So dry head come right in the house and live with them, because he said, well, since it have to be so, and that was about the way they end up.
The wife said, trouble?
Their bush.
What is it?
Trouble. Their bush means trouble in the bush.
Uh-huh. Nancy, trouble their bush?
Nancy bring it come a house.
Bring it come.
He brought Dryhead in the house, so Dryhead was right in the home with them.
So he stayed right there in the
he
home.
He stayed with them, yes.
There was a... You heard most of the Anansi's stories from. Who was it that told them?
Well, my parents, my ward people, and other ward people.
Now your parents are your brother of Mr. Fred.
Yes, sir.
Right? Are you half brother or full brother with?
Full brother, yeah.
Yeah, because he said he thought you would remember some of these, but he didn't. He didn't remember them.
No, I don't remember them so much. Mostly, I used to give them.
But it was it your mother or your father or both of them that?
Well, mostly my father gave me the one with dry head. Mm-hmm. And my mother used to give us a few that up to now I don't give any of those because I don't remember them. And you have other old people, neighbors sometimes. My mother used to send me to stay by a lady. When her husband is gone to town, you know, she asked so that my mother would send me to keep her company. And then she would give me, her name was Miss Rose. She knew plenty, she died now. You know, supposed to know quite a good amount of Nancy's story. You know Miss Vera Rose up the beach?
Vera Rose?
Vera Jackson. Beckford.
No.
She married to Beckford.
Yeah.
Vera Beckford. Well, it's our mother used to give me those Nancy's story when I was
not. So she might know some.
I think so.
Well, maybe I'll go see her.
Sure. And you know, we know a little Nancy story, I think, Frankie McLeod. You know him?
Yeah. Now, I talked with him once about, he told me about lots of old things, you know, talking about the history.
Yeah.
And I think I asked him about the Nancy stories, and he said that at that moment, anyway, he didn't remember.
Yes, we always have plenty first when we was quite young, when in school. But so many years, I feel that he forget it. But he knew plenty.
You know, probably the best way to remember them would be like if somebody like you and Frankie and Miss Vera and the other people,
yes.
if two or three of you got together,
yes,
you could help each other remember.
Help each other. That's right.
I bet that could happen. I wanted to ask you about the band that you were in. People told me that you played the clarinet.
Right.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Where did you learn to play the clarinet?
Right here. In 24 hours.
No, that's impossible.
Yes, really, really. Many people say that it is impossible. I was quite a little kid, I used to play Motown. And my brother, I had a brother, he died recently over the Panama side. His name was Philip. He used to work in Tapa shop. That time I was quite a little kid. And once I was playing hide and seek, you know, children hide and seek. And now the family was big. My brother, the one that is here, Clarence, you know, that he's my brother too. And that other brother, they were the two big older ones. And they had a big cut, so in the night they would open that cut and in the morning they closed it up. One night I heard a nice sound of music and it was a motel. And I felt so enthused with this music while the man passed the street and it gone. And I always wondering about this. Well, my brother bought one, Philip, He wasn't a great player, but he could play a little. And we was playing hide and seek one day, and I decided now, since the cat was folded up, that I was going to go in the cat and hide, because the cat, they take it up in the morning and unfold it, those were the time folding cat. And I would get in there and hide from the rest. But when I got in the cat, I saw something shine, and when I looked, it was a mountain, and I took it up and started to play. I knew it was my brother's own. And my mother, I went and hide outside and I played, but my mother heard. She said, who is it playing mountain out there? So someone else.
I'm talking to Mr. Sellers Johnson, and I'm going to ask him to tell me about the horse races in Coweta, the whole history from the beginning of your life to right now with, well, not to the end yet. What about horse races?
Well, we commenced to have races here in 1939. Over the creek there, we had a real spot, but the length of it was 900 yards. And I had two horses. One was the name of Sir Edward, the other one Surprise, and the other one Sir Adrian. And the always name on Temple had one. That was where Chinaman, that were against me. The old Hawa people, they bought three. And you have races, you always charge at the gate two colonies to go in. The music too from Le Mans. You have dances and everything. And the winner has the Irish pool ticket.
You have sold what?
Pool ticket.
I don't know what that means.
Pool ticket means that you buy so many tickets off one horse. The next person buy after the three horses name put out on the blackboard. Surprise put. Bell Boys from Ohio name is on the blackboard. And the other horse, the name of it was Radio. Those two horses are going to run. The first name, you buy the ticket on, Surprise, Summer. And however, the next person coming by, Summer ticket. And the next one, the third horse, the next person coming by, everybody buy the car up two tickets. Pay a cologne for the ticket. And you can ring up the 100 cologne. Now, when you go out, the green horse get all the money. See? Because the horse, those other tickets come nulo. By those wins. The first horse, you run with those tickets too. And come in, he wins. The other is the move. All those money, you take out 20% of the those money for the race track and the balance. You may only buy one ticket. One ticket can sell on one horse. The first horse, number one. All the rest of the tickets sell on the rest of the horse. That one number one ticket can put you 100 cologne or 200 cologne. Because they don't get none. All the money I spent got on that one ticket. You understand it? Then the purse is a different thing. That time you got to put up 200 or 300 or 400. I had two horses. And those two horses, one race that I had, I made something like 3,000 colonies that day. The purse was 800 apiece, and double racing. My horse won with one, try to chime him on. No, I don't remember that harsh moon magic. Now I ask BT. I go back, surprise Google, run with a harsh Kayaso and a BT again. He was seen it in next 800, and the next house went and went with Wapang. That is the Chinaman house again, and I beat him. And I got big money this time. At the time I was living up the beach in the next house, we watched me. And then we had a big spread tonight. Music from the mom and dance the whole night. You see?
And plenty of people. Would people from Limon come in?
Plenty of people from Limon.
People from Limon would come in to watch the race?
Sure, to watch it. Once we had a race that we got harsh from Martina and Tiquiris and Estrada. Three horses come from there. And we had races here. Mainland Temple, he died now. He had a house named Scamp, and that house beat the field of doing with the old fight house. And then we had good time those times. That was in 1939. But after that, I took out house and go out to Securis and run and win and lose too. But I win too. Mm-hmm. I go to Martina, that is with the Caribbean there. Caribbean go to Catawba and run, and I win too. That was good time.
Where did you buy those horses?
I'll tell you still. I went to Zent once, I went to Zent once and buy a mare from there, and then there was the company manager that had a horse named Caribbean, you see? And then my mare got in court with that horse, and then I got court for him, you see?
And that was the one that you named Caribbean?
That's
again?
The one that named Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Very long.
But those were just for racing?
No, I worked them too. At the time, I'll tell you straight, these are the times. Sarajevo was the greatest house on the tram line. At that time we had the tram line here. But the traffic was railroad and a tram line from near to Pencil, and we had a bridge to go over. That bridge was taken away in 5 years by the weather. And we always used the tram car with wheels, mm-hmm. that would put benches and carry passengers. Mm-hmm. And that house was the greatest house in Poland. And yet I took him in one way.
This was Caribbean.
No, that wasn't Caribbean. He was born right here in the from nice human being.
Now why did you name that horse Sir Edward?
Yeah. Well, because it was a fella came from Securities to give me him, and he didn't have any name in him. And he said to me, let me put that house name Sir Edwards. And the name did fit him. The one surprise, it was a little house at the back in Pencil, and he fell into a cave once, you know, and got a foot in my heart, broken, and I bathed him and I killed him and rubbed him. I had a little idea about medicine until I got him better. And then there is a fella had a house down in Orab and Tiamir. So I made his way to the house, asked me if you want to give him a run. I said, yes, I'll give you a run. And I took the house and carried him out here, and the house beat him so bad that I went home and think about him. Then I began to feed him. You know, I got to feed him and care him. Feed him, bathe him, brush him and everything. And the next week he came, next Sunday he came, with the next one. Mark was with him around. I said, all right, I'll be around again. And I beat him again. Then I figured the house is a good house. Then I began to carry him more. And then he went on, the bird of Ayur guided me to see him Humphreys, one of Kavita. Humphreys, I don't know the boy. He could ride. And I've been doing that with that horse until I give them distance ahead, all 10 yards. I run him down and beat him. And that's to be a hard bad horse until he died in my hand.
And Mr. and Humphreys was the one who did the riding.
Yes. Humphreys let me do it.
Bata.
Yeah.
Oh, now is he the one who got mashed into the coconut tree?
No, it's Cecilia. Oh, that was what are the house that had me in Kelly hit down Cecilia?
Well, who's her?
My one. They let him against the tree.
I don't remember.
So we had the current to sign up again the Monday day and the prayer. I don't know why, but bad. I don't remember his name, but it was a nasty act. There was two of them. Cecilia was on my horse, and Bartha was on a heavier horse to that team to Tom Town. And the two of them went down and they get off my horse going to lead them. And he rode the other horse direct on the back of the other one and tripped him. He didn't hit against no coconut tree. He tripped the other horse and the horse pitched and he fell off and hit his head on a stump near the track.
Stump of a coconut?
No, not stump. A stump was there. That stump was an old tree that was there, they call it sapodilla tree. So it was old down, they burn it with fire, but it gonna burn good. And it was it that he did. Cross plenty more, they gotta take him to the moon. By taking off to hire a train the same day, one Sunday evening.
Had to hire a train?
Yeah, that was called in the morning, there wasn't a train.
How did you call?
Called by phone.
But from what phone?
From Penchard's phone. They took him out on the car from here, the Bugle car, to Penchard. And then they called 2 in the morning. And they sent a train with one coach, and we took him direct to the hospital.
In the morning?
In the morning. Well, in was there about near a month, and then we took him out there and took him to San Jose, and get a specialist to overhaul him, and then he came out and got better.
And his name was what?
Cecilio.
Cecilio.
Spanish
man?
No, she's the my wife's aunt. Family to Miss Pinero's son. Mm-hmm. He lives up the beach just behind where Billy lives in the back. Mm-hmm.
What did you do special? Like when you had this little horse named Surprise and you were starting to find out that it was a good running horse.
Yeah.
What special treatment did you give them?
Well, you got to bathe them every day, you brush them down.
Bathe them in the sea?
In the sea, and then you come and you rinse them off in the creek. And then you come home, and you brush them down, and you give them his corn. And after you give them his corn, you give them grass. You cut the grass and got it clear. And you have him in stable, you don't let him go no patrol. You keep him in stable. And then you snuff him with light vinegar, you rub his head, and with vinegar too. And then you snuff his nose with vinegar, and then you use the brush on him to shape him, you look at him, and see him direct, he must not know how big belly. Brush him, if you see that big belly and you brush him, it cut the belly down and feed him good. You're giving punch in the morning.
Punch?
You dry with eggs.
What, how do you make that?
You beat the eggs. You beat the eggs properly, you put a liter of brandy in it, and then you put milk, and you give him
Every morning?
Every morning, and that helped him. Well, after the old rendering is, come on now, you got to be different. Then you go to the drugstore and you buy your medicine. You got to buy eucalyptus, juniper, essence of peppermint, essence of peppermint, and then you buy the next one you call essence of cinnamon. See? And essence of nutmeg. In the daily race now, you want to have to got good wind that you can go. You got to work on your just take the right of the edge on you. And you beat it till it's warm and you add a drops of all of that into it.
All of those
essence into it. A drop, two or four drops, and then and you give it to him and he milk it. He will give you a good run. Next one again, that is doping then. That's a extra one. But you buy the dope at the drugstore. They sell it.
At the drugstore?
At the drugstore.
What kind of dope do you
get? That dope that makes him kind of like mad.
What is it called?
Well, I don't know, but you buy the dope, they sell you it. And then you mix the dope with a little, you can use water, but you use it in whiskey. A little whiskey, and you keep it properly as white dope, we call it. And you give him, then you're going to let him go. If you give him before, now that you.
But just right before the race?
Yes, then if you haven't given before you got to start him.
Okay.
That's not on you. You must know. Mm-hmm. When you got to give a little bottle like that and you leave him down to the end of the track to start, you open his mouth just as you're going to call the starter, because you always have a man there to start him. And you put it into the mouth and you let it go to his mouth. Then you let him go and that send him along. You know, if you want the main water, then give him anxiety to go. But remember, when you're done with him, stick to it that he don't eat a grain of green grass, because it will kill him.
What, the green grass?
Yeah,
the
dope that will kill him. You got to purge him now. You got to put a half ounce of salt physic or grove of salt, and then you drench him, and the next year now you can feed him again.
But that's after the race?
Yeah, after the race.
Now, was it all right? Were there any rules about what you could give him, or was dope okay? I mean, did everybody use that, or?
No. If I believe that your horse is faster than mine, I dope my own and beat you. Yeah. Mercy.
But that
was
extra. It wasn't against the rules. It was okay to use it.
They don't know.
Nobody
know that I broke it. How did they know?
But do you think some of the other people did that to their horses too?
Yes, plenty of us do. All of them.
So you never told each other?
Nobody told you. You don't see how I do it. But afterward, I found that dope killed the horse in me. It makes it overrun. You find out that the junction becomes big. They got even overrun.
So it's not so good.
Yeah, not so good to use it. That's the word I didn't use it again.
How did you, when you bought it, was it in a bottle? Was it a liquid or powder?
No, it's a powder. It's a powder, and then you put it into the bottle and you put the whiskey and you shake it up. Some people use water, but I use whiskey. It's better, I cut it a little. The beer water is very dangerous.
Hmm.
The whiskey cut it a little.
When you went to the pharmacy to buy it, what did you ask for?
I asked for dope.
The white dope?
The white dope. They have the white one and the red one, but I asked the white one always the best.
Hmm.
And they give it to you. And we have rubbing to do.
What?
Rubbing to rub the joints of the animal.
Was that same stuff?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, this one thing you use, that you use They use an egg white with good vinegar, a little chopped in thyme, Isla white, but it works so hard in the world to sell anybody that thing.
What is that?
Isla white, that's a rubbing, but it works so huge. It's a bad name, bad thing. If I rub it on my house and I get ahead of you, you can't beat me. Every time your horse come to me, it must get out back.
Hmm.
The strong liquid, the name of Isla White.
Isla
Rignum, when you mix the two, Isla Rignum, Isla White, and Isla Bamba. Those three, you find you can't get them three now from the grocery, they don't tell you much.
So they used to sell them right in
the before, it was a Jamaica, man, the name of McCoy, had a drugstore, and he knew he had them. But I got to go to him and tell him, well, I'm going to run race and run back thing to mix my mind with. And then he said me, because the first night when I went to him, he didn't know that I was studying how to train an army man. And I went there, what do you want that for? I said, well, I wanted to do something. No! I said, but man, I run in race, man. He said, all right, then I tell you. And he went to him and I gave him a little bottle of money to pick up and sell me. But now when you clean your horse down properly, your rubber is giant here, and you touch him behind his ears a little, you touch his shoulder, and then you're safe. And that be, now we use the electric arrow before we stand over. Not racing now, we use the electric arrow for the muscle.
Electric oil?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, the same electric oil. Got the oil.
Huh.
You use that oil to rub it good for pain. Look, if I had an electric oil one day, I told it up the meat, pain in me, I would use it. And that helped me. Yeah. Any pain in the joints or anywhere.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Get it? Once you always get it at the drugstore, but you don't get it enough, you gotta get it over the machine shop. Over the Maran machine shop, they sell it there. But don't sell it, you gotta get for them for that, to get it on duty.
This stuff that you used before the electric oil came to rub the joints of the animal, did you do that right before the race? Or
no, they did it all the time before, to keep the animal loose, you know.
Yeah.
Super. You may go in and get a blow or anything, and you rub the joints and bring it up. With the people too. We all use it when I have to.
And the other stuff too?
Mm-hmm. No, the rest no. Only electric iron.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, for how many years did you have horse races like that? Started?
Well, I had it about. Maybe about, I had it from 39 up to 48.
And were you the only one in Coweta?
No, there was a bunch of us. Three people come from outside. The whole harbor.
You have
from here and we got here too.
But from Coweta, were you the only one?
No, there was a next man, the name of Temple.
Temple.
Mm-hmm. He had two horses. Nobody else was only I and him. But he get a lot of people horses in there and trained them, but I trained my own.
And then the money, you said the 20% of the money went to keeping up the racetrack.
Yeah,
you do that yourself?
Yes. I got that money and I paid to keep it clean.
Because that was mostly your coconut
water. Yeah, no, well, now from this piece. We run from a railroad loop to have them cows. See a patrol inside there,
mm-hmm.
Some white cow, little below that. From there we had it clean, then to grind the coconut water.
From there down to the river?
No, come to the bluff, come home.
Oh, you came this way?
Yes, and we had big dams at the same beach area. Palmer had those young coconut inside. The coconut wasn't planted yet. It was an open spot. We make bull deal. We sell fresco, we sell food, we sell everything for the day. Yes, you have good time there. You have dance, the music is there. That's why we charge 2 colones for everybody that goes over. And you go over, you bet your money and you win. You go over, you bet on my heart. The next person go over and bet on the next person's heart. The next one bet on the other heart. And I lose money. You may win my money and somebody has win your money. And that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
You see, you bet as much as you like. But that one, I don't business with it. I get nothing out of that. What I get is when you buy the pool ticket. You see. Then I get 20% off of that and the winner get all the rest.
And you get 20% off it?
Yeah, off that ticket. Suppose you win 100 colones. Mm-hmm. I gotta get 20 of it. See? Suppose you win 500, well, I get more.
And that's for keeping up the track?
That keeps the track up. I have that money that when the track needs it clean, the clean with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for paying the band and everything?
Yeah, you get up right amongst those coconut trees, whatever. It's very clean, it's nice.
Yeah.
It looks good, but nowadays it turns right up in bushes again.
Yeah.
You got a big open. You could stay up at the end here, just as you go over the river here, and you could see right down to the end, and you stay here. All the people is up here. They go down to the end that way, 900 yards, and they start. And you see them coming. Mm-hmm.
Was it pretty straight, or was it
straight track. We didn't got no curb track here.
Now, when they have the horse races down on the Black Beach now, about how far is that they run?
That run is only about 500 yards.
Oh, so this was almost
and
double.
That's only a chicken. We wouldn't run hard, the other horse wouldn't run there, because the moment you begin to run it, they start finished.
Yeah.
That small thing. You run 900 and to 1,000. 1,000 yards.
And the racetracks in Sequeiras and in Cabrera, were there about that time?
They use it four lines. Cacagua is 8 furlongs.
8 what?
8 furlongs. 8 furlongs mean 1 mile. Okay? A mile of 8 furlongs carry 1 mile. That's English measurement.
Yeah, I don't know.
That carry 1 mile. They are 4 furlongs. Well, Sequoias is yards they use. They got up to 1,500 yards. But in San Jose and Catawba, they use 4 lengths. That means 4 lengths is 1 mile. 1 mile together. That you come around, you start it here, and that circle cross. You go around, you got a hill to go. He has to make the top first of that hill. He's the winner, and then you turn, circle around, and come back and win here. Sometimes you start a wheel here and you come and you have to come quite up here come in. Okay. Then you don't get the 8 furlongs. But that was a good race track, but through the volcano had a river broke out underneath it. It destroyed up everything. That was a very good place.
When was that?
I think it was sometime in the directly, I don't remember the year, but we had a bad disaster and they called here and washed up. We had big houses and everything. You could go here, we have a house, we got them up in here. The feeding come to me, you were a pay, you know, and everything comfortable. You cook and eat right there, keep the house, them all the feeding and things right there for them. And now that place is sad. I don't remember what year it was, but...
Was it when you were still running races?
My house was not there then. No. That was after that. After that.
Well, in 1948, if you quit having the races down here, why did you stop it?
Well, because there was no business much again in it. You see?
People lost interest?
Well, they didn't have much interest after... After we stopped, well, nobody had come moon.
Until now the doctor?
Until the doctor came with him. Well, I don't know. If he's going to make good with it, he's going to bring himself big time. But you can't run the house and back to that beach. Not the quality of the well, this side I don't think you can make it again. Because it's under the government control. They came with National Park and this and that. That's why I told up in bush. That coconut water means the Tabash have it in charge. And they swear they won't kill you, they won't do nothing. Because since the government have it, they are troubling it. They grieve to them, but they don't know.
Well, you said that even when you were boys that you used to race horses right along the beach.
Oh, the beach. Yeah, that was. That was family race. We didn't run for no money. Because I had one horse, my brother had one, the next cousin of mine had one, but we all lived in one home, and we always come to